Mark, Blaine, and Kevin. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
The Zone at 7:02, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Looking for a way to put a little play in your day, play Lotto America, the $1 game with jackpots that are rich enough to make you rich enough. You have those drawings every Wednesday and Saturday. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today. Our friend David Beauclair joins us from the Nashville Post. Read his outstanding work at NashvillePost.com, and he's also sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery. David, how are you doing this morning?
I am excellent. How's everybody in here today?
We're good. Before we get going on what we're going to do, I got to say, the video of you doing the agility course with Ruby was outstanding. That was really impressive.
Thank you. That was Monday night. That we've actually done some longer runs with more obstacles here recently, but that one was challenging because the obstacles were close together, and there were a couple of points where the dog's tendency would be to go one way, and you're trying to make sure they go the other way. And she was locked in, did what she was told to do in that one. It was a good. Not every run that we had Monday night was as clean as that one, but it was one of her better nights in a while.
If only Maximum Security had that level of focus there.
That's right.
How much practice does it take to get her to do all that?
You know, we've been doing it once a week for it. I'm pretty sure like next week will be a year.
Okay.
So, you know, with a couple weeks off around the holidays and things like that. So, you know, a lot of the people in the class, they have farms or big pieces of land, and they have all the equipment, and they practice at home. You know, we don't have that. We show up once a week. We do it. The instructor says we're ready for novice competitions like
Sweet.
That course that's
wow.
in the that course that's in the video I posted on Facebook is actually more obstacles than she would face in a novice competition.
Westminster can't be far off.
Yeah, it's we're on our way. But yeah, you also notice at the start of that run, she gets a little beagly and the nose is down a little bit, and then. But then after about the second or third jump, she dials it in and gets going. So that's a constant battle that I will have to wage forever with her on that. But it's fun. It's I appreciate you saying that.
Mark and I were talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs last hour and what the Central Division will look like down the road when you think about the teams that were in the Final Four in the West. And the two that got beat this week, Dallas lost in a Game 7 against St. Louis, and then Colorado was eliminated last night in a close Game 7 against San Jose. And then you still have St. Louis, which is, you know, in it and with a chance to go to the final and maybe win the whole deal. I mean, the job isn't going to get any easier for the Preds in that division.
If you re-rank the Central right now, realistically, the Preds would be fourth behind St. Louis, Dallas.
I don't know if I'd put them behind Colorado just yet, but Colorado going into the season, Colorado was a team.
All right, Dallas, that I said, Louis, and Winnipeg, and battling it out.
I wasn't even thinking of Winnipeg. Yeah, you're right. It's a tough spot, and what's really interesting to me too about the final two is, you know, I sat here last June or May, whenever it was after the season ended, and David Poile had talked about the players wanting to keep the team together, and he was going to honor that and kept it together. And you know, I said if you weren't good enough then, you know, the Stanley Cup is a moving target. Chances are it's moving away from you, and other teams are making moves to get better. You should be making moves to get better. So look at the two teams that are in the conference final now. St. Louis and San Jose are the two teams that really gave the Predators as much trouble as anybody during the regular season. Like, you can't say that the whole Western Conference has passed them by, but using the Predators as a barometer, if they were the best team in the West, which they were last year during the regular season, they ended up being one of the better teams this year. These were two teams that just gave them fits all season. So it makes sense that they would be teams here. I mean, you know, San Jose came back in the third period on them twice, won games 5-4. St. Louis scored 5 on them, 6 on them, won 3 of the 4 head to head. I mean, these are, this is what David Poile needs to be looking at this offseason. You know, this is not a fluke in terms of what the Predators
Dallas
are trying
beat them
to do
decisively in the first round. And you look at Winnipeg, and they definitely had a hard time against Winnipeg.
But if you're the Predators, you can't go into this offseason now saying, well, you know, we're the first team in 8 years or whatever it was to win the Central two seasons in a row. We're still the team to beat. No, you're not.
Yeah, it's not going to be three seasons in a row in this current configuration. Yeah,
these are two teams that haven't just gone farther than you in the playoffs. They were better than you head to head in the regular season. These are the teams you need to be dealing with now. The way teams are trying to match up with you following the 2017 season, you need to match up with these teams. Find a way to be better than them head to head.
All right. Realistically, and taking a really hard look at this team, not for contract, but who are the untouchables on this team when it comes to trades?
Untouchables. Roman Josi's untouchable. Philip Forsberg's untouchable. Pekka Rinne is untouchable.
Victor Arvidsson.
I'm not 100%. Victor Arvidsson to me is 98% untouchable. He's not 100% untouchable.
What about Johansson?
Not untouchable. No, if I got the right package for him, the thing with Johansson is I don't, you know, the. Everything's fun and games to Ryan Johansson. I don't, you know, he's a great guy. He's a wonderful guy in the locker room. He's obviously a talented player, but you don't see enough seriousness from him at all. In the 2017 playoff run up to the point that he got hurt, I'd never seen him play like that. He was physical. He was determined. He was, you know, he was all those things. You haven't seen that from him since. If I'm the Predators, I'm scared that Ryan Johansson's a guy who's made his money and says, I'm in coast mode now.
But he had a decent year.
He had it. But if you're asking me who's untouchable and I'm thinking about who's going to help me win a Stanley Cup, you know, Ryan Johansson, for that big body and for that skill, is not a dominant centerman. He's a centerman who wants to be cute and make the passes and do those sorts of things. So if somebody wants to offer me a package of players that includes a big physical dominant centerman or almost dominant centerman with some other things, I would consider that. Yeah, I don't think there's, you know, many players at all on this team that are untouchable right now. I mean, again, Ryan Johansson, what, 90% untouchable? I'm not looking. If I'm the Predators, I'm not looking to trade him. But if somebody comes to me with an offer and says this, I would certainly consider it.
It seems apparent with Turris. Everybody would love the Predators to find a way to get him off the team. But realistically speaking, if David makes a trade, he's got to really almost significantly weaken his team. It's sort of like a Matthew Lombardi trade where he would have to send a good player or draft picks for another team to even think about taking Turris, as opposed to maybe, you know, keeping him for another year and hoping he's a year past, you know, his injury and maybe he'll play better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do.
Maybe not look at him as a second line center, you know, look as a third or a fourth line center. And then pretty much, you know, tell him, you know, you get what you earn now.
The problem with that is, you know, he's not Nick Bonino. Like, Nick Bonino is a tough physical player who can move around between some of those lines. Kyle Turris is not that guy. I mean, he is what he is. He's a smaller, more skilled guy. He doesn't have the physical style that you would need on a third and fourth line where you can give him third or fourth line minutes, but just saying, well, he's a third or fourth line guy, I don't know that he's going to be effective in that role, and it doesn't do you any good to do that. I mean, you're sort of with Johansson at number one, with Bonino and whoever else you want to put in the middle down below, you're sort of locked in to Kyle Turris as your number two center, and right now that's not good enough.
Well, I don't see them eating $20 million on a buyout.
I don't see them eating
$15 million on a trade.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I used the word stuck.
David Beauclair in the house from the Nashville Post, 7:12 The Time. David's brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery, and our show is powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Ask him some of these Titans questions, too, when we come back, about what they might still look to get done if there are free agents they like out there. If you'd like to join us, you have a question for Dave, 615-737-1045, or reach us on Twitter at WUZ1045. Let's talk about homeowners insurance. Does your home insurance policy cover everything it should? Chances are it doesn't, and if disaster ever strikes, you're going to be left holding the bag. 64% of U.S. homes are underinsured with outdated policies that cover things that don't really matter. I took a look at my policy recently and just kind of checked it out. Hippo Home Insurance believes that people deserve better. It is smart insurance for the modern home that covers things you really need, like your computer, your TVs, your HVAC systems, your appliances, for up to 25% less than what you might be paying right now. You go to myhippo.com. The website's super easy to navigate. You answer a few simple questions, and you find out how much you can save in 60 seconds or less. Hippo is backed by over $200 billion in assets. They will help you switch at any time. No need to wait for your current policy to run out. If you want modern home insurance for less, go to myhippo.com/Ingram and get your instant quote, and you save up to 25%. Takes only 60 seconds. Switch today and save. That's myhippo.com/Ingram, myhippo.com/Ingram. The Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, 717. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We've got our friend David Beauclair with us from the Nashville Post. You can read his outstanding work, nashvillepost.com. Tennessee Lottery, proud to have raised more than $4.8 billion for education. Want to join us, 615-737-1045.
Folk, the caravan, obviously, rolling around the state of Tennessee for the Titans. Marcus Mariota was quoted yesterday, and in typical Marcus fashion, nothing outrageous, sort of Captain Obvious with saying we've got to be more consistent, and he's excited about Adam Humphries and, maybe some more stability with his receiving core. But the larger issue with Marcus is really that 2019 is the year of no excuses. The Titans have done their best to upgrade their offensive line with Saffold. There's going to be obviously a new starting right guard, whether it's Pamphile, or the rookie. But beyond that, what do you see, at least in terms of, Mariota and what they've added to the offense?
To me, it's really simple. It has to be the run game. We all have to get over the fact that Marcus Mariota is going to transform this team. Marcus Mariota is going to carry this team. What has historically made quarterbacks for the Tennessee Titans is a running game. If you go back and look, there have been six times beginning in 2000 that Titans quarterbacks have made the Pro Bowl. Have been Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Steve McNair's first year was 2000, which, oh, by the way, happened to be Eddie George's best year running the ball when he ran for over 1,500 yards. Vince Young made it twice, 2006 and 2009. 2006 was Travis Henry's best year, 1,200 yards. 2009, of course, was Chris Johnson's 2,000-yard season. And Kerry Collins in 2008, Chris Johnson ran for over 1,200 yards that year. The other two were McNair in 2003 when he became a league MVP, and then 2005 when he had the reputation of being an MVP. So in order to make that jump, like if you don't come into the league as Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes or whomever, as Marcus Mariota clearly hasn't, you need the run game to get you there. So to me, we can talk about Marcus Mariota. We can talk about Adam Humphries. We can talk about Roger Saffold and AJ Brown and whoever else you want. Derrick Henry is the guy. If this is going to be an offense that's going to produce and going to get guys into the Pro Bowl, Derrick Henry's the man to do it.
But still, the Titans have performed sort of an interesting little sleight of hand. In that when Vrabel was hired, and of course LaFleur, the goal was, to maximize Mariota. To me, Mariota's role in this offense has changed a little bit. This offense now doesn't really run through him as much as it does Derrick Henry. We had Greg Cosell on, who made a great point that he said, Mariota has sort of gone from leading man to just part of the puzzle. And not that that's bad, but at least in the eyes of the Titans, I think they understood that they couldn't run the offense through Mariota and be as successful as if, they sort of, go back, to this run-based offense.
Well, and this is one of those things that irritates me about the Mariota narrative. And it's, oh, poor Marcus, and he's had so many changes in coaches and coordinators and everything. Well, John Robinson did that. When Mike Mularkey was hired as head coach and took over for Ken Whisenhunt in 2016, was hired full time in 2016. What did he do? He obviously had spent time with Mariota. He understood Mariota. He put together an offense and a free agent plan that put together a running game. And oh, by the way, there's the 1,200 number again. DeMarco Murray ran for 1,287 yards that year, and that happened to be Marcus Mariota's best year as a professional. So, this idea that, the Titans did this to Marcus Mariota in changing coaches again on him a couple times here the last couple of years. And John Robinson should have done a better job telling Mike Vrabel and Matt LaFleur, this is who he is. Look at what the last staff did. This is how you need to use. They didn't do that. They tried to put too much on him. It didn't work. When they figured out late last year, hey, if we give the ball to Derrick Henry a whole lot, everything seems to look better. They've learned that. And yes, the offense is going to be adjusted again to accommodate that. But this is, to whatever degree Marcus Mariota's growth has been stunted by these changes, that is on John Robinson specifically.
What about the Titans not picking up Jack Conklin's option next year?
I think that, to me, that's a simple matter of economics. I don't think it's Jack, we're not sure about you, Jack. You need to prove it to us. I think it's as simple as Taylor Lewan is on a huge contract going forward. And I don't think they feel like they can pay another fifth year number at tackle without throwing their whole salary structure out of whack. I think it's look, Jack, we'll talk contract. But we have to have your 2020 number and beyond at a reasonable number. It can't be Taylor Lewan money. And it might be that Jack Conklin leaves through free agency, but that's, they made the choice to pay Taylor Lewan. I don't think you can pay two guys that kind of money.
How do you look at him coming back from injury and how, this year might be different from last year in that regard for Conklin?
I mean, you certainly always hear that you can get back in a year, you're you again in two, and yeah. And you see more and more guys are coming back in 8-9 months from those sorts of injuries. But I think the reality is still it takes more time than that to get back to being you. So yeah, I mean ideally this would be a much easier go, a much better go for Jack Conklin. You figure he's going to be stronger all over. It's better that he's in a contract year in this situation and than he is coming off that injury. So
we were talking about the second wave of free agency with the things involving compensatory picks going away once this afternoon hits. I looked at a list that USA Today put together of a lot of the top free agents that are still out there. I don't know that I think any of these guys are ones that can really help this team. And a lot of them are defensive players. Ziggy Ansah is off the board with his signing. You got Sue, you got Eric Berry, Trey Boston, a safety, Michael Crabtree, a receiver, and Mo Wilkerson, the defensive end, Morris Claiborne, cornerback, Donald Penn, offensive tackle, William Hayes, of course, has been here before, defensive end, and Danny Shelton, a defensive tackle, run stuffer from the Patriots. I mean, do any of those guys strike your fancy?
Not tremendously. Shane Ray is still out there. He's an intriguing guy just because he's young enough, but wildly unproductive opposite Von Miller during his years in Denver, which you would have thought, you know, you would have thought that that would have been a that would have been that would have been an easy spot to go put up some numbers and
by accident.
So, yeah, so you know that worries you. The other guy, Stefan Wisniewski, the guard out of Philly, you know, a guy who's played a lot of football. If he's affordable at this point, I mean you've got Pam Feel, you've got Saffold, you've got what Davis, the draft pick. You know, do you need another body there? Probably not. Would a little extra insurance right now hurt? Absolutely not. I think that wouldn't be the worst thing to maybe look at a guy like that. Those are a couple guys that stood out to me.
David Beauclair, our guest from the Nashville Post. Read his work at NashvillePost.com. He's sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery. Our show is powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 7:27 the time. The Wake Up Zone continues in just a moment. The Wake Up Zone. 104.5 the Zone. Powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Our business every week with David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. We're also brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Looking for a way to put a little play in your day, play Lotto America, the $1 game. Jackpot's rich enough to make you rich enough. Don't forget about those Tennessee Lottery instant games. Play the May instant games that have top prizes ranging from $5,000 all the way up to $500,000. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Kevin Mawai, the obviously a former Titan, played for several different teams, but he's going to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this summer. I saw some of the stuff on Twitter. He's posting photos of him, you know, getting the mold and everything made for the bus this week. I thought that was pretty cool. But he wrote a good piece about some of the things that he's donating to the Hall of Fame as they, you know, kind of collect some memorabilia from his career.
Yeah, I guess at some point this summer they'll open an exhibit, you know, called the 2019 Locker Room, and it, you know, so every inductee will have their own little space, and his Titans career is going to be well represented there. He donated a jersey from the 2009 season, which was his last. He also won the Ed Block Courage Award that year, and he's donated that trophy. There's some stuff that was hanging in his locker, I think, you know, all throughout his career. Motivational poem that he had, and
this will be a little different than Randy Moss being a former Titan going
exactly
into the Hall.
And we've seen Bruce Matthews go in during the franchise's time here. We've seen Mike Munchak go in, but this is the first guy who, again, discounting Randy Moss, who had, you know, nothing to do with the Oilers days. This is a guy, you know, when you think of him with this franchise, it's as a member of the Tennessee Titans. So it's sort of an interesting little moment. And you know, he played his last 4 years here, but, you know, he was not a guy playing out the string at that point. He was still a very good, very productive player at that point. I mean, you look, team finished in the top 10 in rushing all 4 years that he was here, and most seasons since hasn't come close to that. And that, you know, I think that sort of speaks to what a guy like that can do for an offensive line when he's in the middle making the calls.
For a long time, we were all saying that the offensive line play was not the same since Kevin Mawai left.
And good for him for getting in the Hall of Fame, because it's one of those things, it's probably very hard to quantify his achievements and what he did in there. And
really for any offensive lineman, it's kind of the case,
you know,
isn't it?
Like tackles, like left tackles, you can sort of see a guy who's, every time he's one-on-one with a rusher, he just, you know, he just locks him up and holds him at bay. But what goes on in the inside? Like, I'm sure I've told the story on here once or twice before, but I remember in the, it was 1999-2000 season. It was early on in the Titans' time here, and my covering them. I remember it was a game in Pittsburgh at Three River Stadium, and I thought to myself, I want to see what all the hype is about Bruce Matthews. I'm gonna watch Bruce Matthews for like the whole quarter or at least, and see what happens. And literally, it was like the second or third play that I was focused on him. It was a pass play. And the Steelers blitzed, and at the snap, Matthews stood his guy up, never gave an inch. Just locked him up. And as he's holding him, a blitzer's coming to his right. So Matthews slides half a step to his right, keeps his left hand in the guy's chest. The guy still can't move. And as the blitzer comes, Matthews throws his right shoulder at him and knocks him completely off his course. And I was like, all right, I'm done watching him. I've seen what I needed to see, but those are the kinds of things I guess you have to do to really get a sense of, you have to put in a lot of work to analyze a guy like Kevin Mawai. And I'm sure there are very much moments like that throughout his career too.
Thing about him, he's a really nice guy off the field, but in addition to being a smart player and all the technical stuff that goes into playing the offensive line, he just had a nasty side of him that really, I thought, kind of took him to a different level as a player.
Yeah, and a guy who's been heavily involved in the NFLPA during and after his playing career, and when you would discuss those sorts of things with him, I mean, he's a thoughtful guy. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Kevin, he was sort of thoughtfully nasty. I never got the sense that emotion would ever overtake him and he was just playing while seeing red. He sort of knew I need to be walking on the edge right here.
Well, and I would say, Kevin, I wouldn't say nice guy. Bulky, I would agree with you, thoughtful guy.
Yeah.
If he respected you or he thought you were going to ask him, good questions, he would deal with you, but he did not handle fools gladly.
It's just a really, really good football player, I think, in a lot of ways. And good for him that, because he'd sort of been semifinalist a couple times. I think he was a finalist last year. And I assume you probably have to start to wonder, are they ever going to sign off on me? And I'm glad they did.
I want to join us with a question for David Beauclair from the Nashville Post, 615-737-1045. And on Twitter at WUZ1045, we're talking earlier, David saying that, the best option for the Titans is running the football with Derrick Henry. Juan says fans have been saying this for some years now, just run the bleep out of Henry.
Yeah, I mean, if the last 4 weeks of last season didn't convince you, that's what this team is right now. Marcus Mariota is going to be as good as his running game, and with Derrick Henry, there's a chance to have a really, really good running game, I think.
And
Deion Lewis, it is certainly showed he can do some things too. I mean, it doesn't have to be a one man show, but it does have to be the Derrick Henry show with Deion Lewis, co-starring kind of thing.
You think they did enough to address the pass rush?
Probably not quite enough, unless DJ Walker turns out to be, a guy who can really get you 8, 9, 10 sacks this year. They're probably still a year away from where they want to be with the pass rush. I don't think they ignored it. I think they tried to get what they could out of this offseason and probably did, but I don't think they're there yet.
What about Rashawn Evans and his role as a possible, at least a situational rusher? Here's a guy who looks like, he's ready to really make that huge first year to second year improvement, but given what they have on the interior with Jayon Brown and Woodyard, they could do some things, with Rashawn Evans, including him, putting him outside maybe, at least situationally.
And he's a guy who did some of that at Alabama his first couple years. That was, because Rashawn Evans is different than a lot of the first-round picks the Titans have, is that he wasn't wildly productive from start to finish of his college career. He was a situational guy his first couple years, but found a way to get on the field and make plays. I think that's an intriguing option to me. If you play him inside on the rundowns, move him outside onto the pass downs, and let him get after the quarterback. That might be one of those things that you go, okay, you didn't need another edge rusher this offseason. You actually had one on the roster, and as you say, Mark, Jayon Brown inside can play as pass defenses as well as you want him to. I mean, he certainly showed that last year.
7:42, our time here on the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Our friend David Beauclair in the house from the Nashville Post. We'll wrap up the hour with some talk about baseball in just a second. That's coming up next. And be sure to stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have a little fun with those Insta games. The lottery is proud to have raised more than $4.8 billion for education. Time for Mark and a word about Wilson County Hyundai.
That's right. Our buddy Payne Bone at Wilson County Hyundai will tell you that every opportunity to buy a Hyundai is savings at its best. If you're shopping for sports utilities, it's a true value buy. They'll have you spring and summer ready. The 2019 Santa Fe is their most advanced SUV ever. And with the Tucson and the all-new Kona, well, you can compare them all side by side. You can also compare the Elantra and Sonata. They're both value at its best. If Hyundai makes it, Wilson County Hyundai has it. With America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, and Hyundai Assurance. Wilson County Hyundai, they're close. They're right there in Lebanon, just 20 minutes east of the airport, and their family. So they look forward to seeing you in the showroom or shop online at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Have a great Hyundai Day. Sick.
The Zone 7:48, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Our friend David Beauclair is with us from the Nashville Post. Don't forget, coming up this Saturday, May 11th, Percy Warner Park, the 78th Iroquois Steeplechase. You can be part of all of it, the hats and the bow ties, the horses, Mark Howard, all the people. And you can be in the all-inclusive Champions Corner with 104.5 The Zone. It's sponsored by Jack Fire. Again, some great up-close views of all the events. Tickets are on sale. You want more info or to buy tickets, you can go to 1045thezone.com. Come out tailgate with your friends at The Zone on Saturday in the Champions Corner.
Titans 5K this Saturday, too.
That's right. So run your 3.1 and then go out to Percy Warner.
Fill up with empty calories.
Which part?
You run the 5K and then you go fill up with the empty calories.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. All right, right. Mark, do you have your outfit picked out for the Iroquois?
Not case. Quite.
No.
Yes, it's the Ithaca sweatshirt for Saturday.
Hey, I'm back to a four sweatshirt rotation.
I'm just glad you're up to four.
You have kids who wear your clothes. It's hard to.
Man, yeah,
this is look. These are my work clothes.
Look, you see me every day. I have like 8 shirts. That's it.
Some of those need to be eased into retirement.
Why? I wash them. If you need me to wear a tie, I wear a tie. But if you don't, you don't.
We've now gotten to the point that it's like, okay, this is TNA week. This is Ithaca week.
Man, if you're keeping track of my sweatshirts, you need to get a life.
We're keeping track. Yeah, we're keeping track. Vanderbilt's just keeping track of wins in baseball, Dave. Woo! The 39-9 after that was a really nice win for him at Louisville.
Oh, yeah. That's always such a good little spot in the schedule right now. After nearly a full regular season of some of those midweek games where you can,
some of those midweek games that last 4 hours,
yeah, like
and
the four,
it takes two
like
hours
the four
to play
hour,
the first two innings.
The 4 hour, 15-minute affair against Tennessee Tech a couple weeks ago. But
goodness.
Yeah, that catches everybody's attention. And, to go up there and win, you're coming off your first sweep ever at South Carolina, back-to-back 20-run games last week. I mean, you name it. This team's doing it right now. They are really, really good. Over the last 5 games, I was looking this up yesterday. They're 9-for-15 with the bases loaded, hitting .600 with the bases loaded. I mean, they just punish you when they get the opportunity.
You know, and you look at them, and I've seen a lot of the games, and some of them I look at and say, man, they sure left a lot of guys on base, but then look at it the other way, say, boy, they sure delivered with guys on base, and that's been that way for me a whole lot of the season. This offense looks to me as good or better than anything they've had in this really remarkable run they've had over the last, say, 10 or 12, 15 years.
Yeah, the what was it, 2006, the David Price, Pedro Alvarez year. I mean, that lineup never, ever gave anybody a break, and this one feels this is as good, if not better. Certainly, J.J. Bleday's home run numbers are staggering. I mean, I still say Pedro Alvarez had the fastest bat I have ever seen in person from a college player, but J.J. Bleday and what he's doing all around, his all-around game is spectacular, and I think that's one of those things, too. everybody knew coming into the year that Blade was going to be a good player. And when a good player delivers right from the start, I think it sort of elevates everybody else's confidence. Like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. And this guy's a stud and we're all good and let's go. And they're going to be a tough out in the conference tournament and beyond that. And it's, unlike the last couple of years, I think we can safely assume there's going to be a regional and if possible, a super regional here in Nashville this year.
You know, and the thing about it is, you watch a lot of these SEC series, even the pretty good teams struggle with that Sunday starter, that third starter in the rotation. Vanderbilt has basically four guys who could start on the weekend, and that's pretty solid. You know, the thing that really maybe concerns me, and sometimes it's a concern, sometimes it's really not, it's the back end of the bullpen. And also, you really wish one of those starting pitchers was left-handed, but you can't do a whole lot about that.
And it's interesting that that Corbin made the move mid-season and took Kumar Rocker from Sunday to Saturday, at a time when they weren't really scoring a lot of runs on Sunday. And I'm not sure if that was part of it. Like, okay, if we're not going to score runs on Sunday, let's have a pitcher who's not likely to struggle, and we know is going to give us quality innings, But that's a move that's worked out really well for. I mean, Corbin hasn't had to make a lot of big moves along the way. A lot of times we've seen some of his best teams, he sort of has had to sort out the pitching staff as the season goes, and about halfway through they sort of get locked into everybody's roles, and that really hasn't been the situation this year. They've sort of been what they are and going.
And really, the moves he's had to make are due to injuries. They've lost some key guys for long stretches, and the offense has not missed a beat. I mean, Pat DeMarco missed, I think, like 25 games, and you install some other guys. Cooper Davis has been out, and Isaiah Thomas came in and played great in center. I mean, the guys he's installed, pretty much all of it's worked this season.
And I asked Tim Corbin about that a week or so ago, and he said, I told the freshmen this year they're going to have to be patient, and that if they're playing, we're not going to be very good. And he said, I'd like to think that some of what we've seen from these guys, and Isaiah Thomas is a perfect example, getting their opportunities, is they've watched the older guys and understood how they prepared, so that when they got the opportunity, they prepared the same way and were ready to go. Isaiah Thomas steps in at center field last week against Tennessee Tech and hits two home runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Tim Corbin said, I would have never expected that.
As long as we're on baseball, I know the group from around here that's trying to figure out some way to get the ball rolling on a major league team coming here is supposed to meet with some MLB officials next week. To me, that's way down the road, but how do you sort of view that whole thing and trying to consider what this town and this whole area might look like, say, in 10 years, and whether it can support MLB if it ever indeed came here, whether it's an expansion team or an existing team moved from somewhere else?
Well, it's the bizarro MLS movement, isn't it? Like, MLS, everything happened so quickly, and this is the exact opposite of that, and it's probably more the norm. And let's be clear about this. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, has said, we are not pursuing expansion. There are no plans for Major League Baseball expansion. So this is just simply Rob Manfred and his people getting to know who's out there and what cities. Nashville's not the only city right now talking about Major League Baseball expansion. As is the norm around here, it seems like Nashville has put together a pretty impressive group when you're talking about a guy like Alberto Gonzalez, and Tim Corbin is on the advisory committee, and anything Tim Corbin does baseball wise in this town has automatic legitimacy in my mind. So this is a get acquainted discussion. I would assume that there's not going to be any hard and fast, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. It's just if Major League Baseball ever gets to the point that they want to expand, they want to know what their options are. And Nashville apparently is going to have a group that will be ready to have those more serious discussions when the time comes.
David, great to see you. Thanks as always.
All right, everybody, take care.
David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. Go to nashvillepost.com and read his excellent work. And our visits with David every week are brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery, proud to have raised more than $4.8 billion for education.